Buy with Rob is your best choice when purchasing your new home in the Puget Sound area. Call 360-710-9425 today and get started on the best home buying experience you will ever have. Go to buywithrob.com today.
Hey, this is YD from the Ale Evangelist Show, and you're listening to the Podcast 99 Internet Radio Network.
Hey, did I tell you guys I got a goat?
What was the final score today? It's Coffee Mug Gymnastics.
Actually, I counted 7 trade-offs from right hand to left, and at least 9 almost puts the mug down, but then picks it up before it touches the table.
Well, from the booth, I counted 17 fully executed coffee cup maneuvers.
Aha, I thought I smelled Dave's burning flesh.
Your species has great curiosity. We knew that. You are interesting in many ways.
Hello? Hello, can I talk to Mr. David? Dave Bowman? Hello?
I think the young people enjoy it when I get down verbally, don't you?
Little column A, little column B.
You are listening to The Dave Bowman Show on the Podcast 99 Internet Radio Network.
Well, good morning, good evening, or good afternoon, wherever you are, whatever you do. A lot of things happening in the world today. Most of them are far beyond our control, you might say. So perhaps it's time we took a pause. Thought about life, thought about the laws of gravity, coffee cups, kids, naked voting, tigers, social media, and why you should vote, politics and or the news. Don't touch that dial. Just try to hear me out for a while. Look, it's really simple. If you don't like me, that's fine. You got a problem with what I say, what I believe, what I think? Take it up with me. Leave my kids out of it. Simple. The coffee cup is a character on this show. I don't know if you figured that out yet or not, folks. It is. Chelsea Handler might be onto something. Half of the world's tigers live in India. Well, there's one less today. And should you vote? Well, of course you should. But some people are telling you not to. Here's how you get a hold of me. The text machine is area code 209-565-DAVE. It's 209-565-3283. Email remains Dave at thedavebowmanshow.com. Of course, we're on the web. Just look for The Dave Bowman Show on Facebook, Twitter, iTunes. Leave us a rating and review if you download, as well as using whatever non-denominational web search browser you prefer to take you to thedavebowmanshow.com or podcast99.org, where you can get the show live and on demand. Hello, qui conizio. Greatest enemy of knowledge is not ignorance. It's the illusion of knowledge. Well, happy election day, everybody. Woo-hoo. But Dave, it's the most important election ever. Didn't you know that? It's so important that Chelsea Handler's getting naked. Yeah, okay, I guess. There you go. Have at it. So, I look, I got to clear the air about something. I started to say it, and I don't do this show for money. I don't make any money on this show. I really don't. It's not to say I don't want to. It's not to say I wouldn't take advertising dollars, because I probably would, but I don't. And I really haven't put much of an effort into doing it. It's not really what I'm about. It's the same thing I tried to tell corporate radio years ago. You keep thinking this is about money, and it's not about money. But, you know, be that as it may, you can think that if you want, but it's not. I do this show because I enjoy doing it, because I like doing it, because I enjoy it, because I want to leave something for my son someday, because I'm not going to be here his whole life. I want him to be able to say, who was my dad? What did he think? Because I don't have that. I've had conversations with my dad, but not to the exclusion of a lot of other things, and the depth maybe that would enjoyable. I didn't have those with my grandfather. I certainly didn't have them with my great-grandfather. I don't know these things, and so I don't want Ben to be sitting there 30, 40, 50 years from now thinking, what do I say to my son about what his grandpa was like? He'll know. He'll have hours upon thousands of hours of me talking about things that matter to me, what I care about, what I think is funny, what I think is cool, what I think is important. And I get that some of you listening, I don't know why you're here if you don't like it. I mean, that's fine. I just share it because it's what I'm used to doing. If you don't like what I say, fine. I don't give a rat's ass if you don't like it. If you don't like it, turn it off. If you disagree with me, that's fine. I've made it very clear that disagreement is not basis for dislike. It's just not. Disagreement is where you start a conversation. As the rabbis teach quite extensively, if two people agree on everything, then one of them isn't necessary. Okay. I buy into that philosophy. I get it. If sometimes what I say makes you angry. This is not the gospel here. This is not legally binding radio. This is Dave's opinion. It's the Dave Bowman Show. It's not the you must believe this or else you're going to hell show. It's my opinion about things. You don't like my opinion? Fine. I probably don't like your opinion. I don't take it out on your kids, do I? You take it out on my kids, you're taking it to a personal level, and that's bullshit, and it's not going to be tolerated. Leave my kids out of it. I don't pick on politicians' kids. I don't pick on your kids, even though you're an idiot. I don't do that. Leave my kids out of it. It's that simple. I have four beautiful daughters and a son. I have three grandchildren and one on the way. And none of them are responsible for what I say. None of them have any input into what I say. None of them have any impact on what I say other than when I talk about them, which I try really not to do other than Ben by name because it's not fair to them. They didn't sign up for this. You don't like me. That's fine. If you don't like what I believe, if you don't like what I, say, if you don't like what I think are valid solutions, and if you don't like how I vote, too freaking bad. The fact that you denigrate a child, the fact that you get into to my children, whatever age they might be, some of them are closing in on 30 now, says more about you than it does me. So, enough said. You've got my phone number. It's right there. You've got my email address. It's right there. None of this has changed, and it won't change. I'm not hiding from anybody. You know where I am. There's no reason not to talk to me about your issues with me, right? I would do the same for you, and I expect the same from you. It's really that simple. So I got... was it Ron yesterday? Ron, somebody yesterday made a comment about the coffee cup, which I thought was funny. I really did. The coffee cup is a character on the show. I don't know if you knew that or not. I was actually talking to Brian Brody about this some months ago, when he was getting ready to really ramp up his show on IPM. Brian is a really good friend of mine, and Brian is one of those people that fascinates me. Because of his background, because of the things that he's done in his life, and because of the way he's handled them, I find it fascinating. He knows that I don't buy into all the metaphysical stuff, and that's fine. He has reason to explore, and that's what he's doing. He's exploring life, and because he's had a life-altering scenario. And so he's digging into those things to try to discover what they mean to him particularly and share those experiences with other people. Anyway, we were talking about the show, and he was talking about some of the stuff that he has in his studio. And if you've ever seen his show, he has the gong heard round the world, and he's got a skull, and he's got, I think he's got an Aztec death whistle, just kind of cool. And a back scratcher. And every time he uses the back scratcher, when I'm watching, I always say something about it. And he was really embarrassed. He said, but my back itches. And sometimes I forget I'm on camera. And I'm like, dude, what you got to do is make your quirks part of your character, make them part of who you are, make them part of what's going on. Make them a drinking game. Every time I show the coffee cup, everybody has to take a shot, right? And every time I shift hands, and every time I almost put it down, but not quite on the desk, and every time I take a drink. you know, it's part of who I am. It's part of what I am. I love coffee. Most of you know this by now. I am a coffee freak. I like coffee. There's, you get into debates every, I hate Starbucks because Starbucks is liberal. Well, good. You're staying out of my way when I go to buy coffee. My wife loves Starbucks, but she doesn't like coffee. She likes coffee drinks. So, you know, the Venti iced vanilla latte with this, that, and the other non-fat mocha. I always feel strange when I go to Starbucks. I just want coffee. It's a black cup of coffee. You want cream and sugar in that? No, I don't. I just want it black. But I do love coffee. And the cup goes with it. I mean, it's just part of it. And the other thing is, paper cups would probably be safer. You know, like you get at the restaurant, it would probably be safer to have a paper cup in here. And because they got the lids on them and stuff like that. The problem is paper cups. I've never done the science on this. Somebody should get millions of dollars in grant money to do this, to study this. I'm sure they already have. But, you know, in order to be scientifically valid, you have to repeat the experiment over and over again. So I'm actually thinking about applying for this. For some reason, to me, the paper cups, when the coffee goes in, it's too freaking hot to drink. That's one of the reasons why I hate going out to get coffee, because it always comes in these paper cups and it's too hot to drink. And by the time it cools to the point where you can drink it, either you're not in the mood for coffee anymore or it's gotten cold. Whereas ceramic cups, for some reason, ceramic cups do a really good job of holding just the right. They dissipate it just right. They hold it just right. And from the second you put it in there, you can drink it and it stays relatively warm enough throughout the show. I mean, I only have one cup of coffee during the show, and it's usually about, I don't know, 10 minutes to the end of the show before it's just undrinkable at that point. And I even like iced coffee. So if I had a couple ice cubes, I'd probably drop them in there. What kind of coffee do I like? Well, I like... my favorite, I mean, the go-to coffee is Folgers Black Silk. And I don't get anything for saying that, but that's my go-to. As much as I like fancier coffees, and I do, sometimes they're expensive. And I mean, anybody that wants more than $11 a pound for coffee, especially coffee that I have to grind myself, and I do grind my own coffee because it's A, it's fun, and B, I enjoy it. Anybody that wants more than $11 a pound for coffee, it better be some damn good coffee. It better be the best coffee I've ever had for that kind of money. But, so Black Silk is usually what I go to. Quite frankly, whatever they use at McDonald's is pretty good. I like that. Which will make Bruce happy. I like that. But my favorite of all of them, and this is a treat for myself, and I told my wife last year, when they came out with this and we got one bag of it. And gosh, it was so good. And I tried to stretch it out because I knew we were running out, and we went back to the store to get some, and they didn't give any more. It's like, oh my God, it's this Guatemalan Huehuetenango from Starbucks. And that is an amazing thing. I mean, I don't try to explain coffee to people, but boy, if I were introducing people to coffee, that's where I would start right there. Guatemala Huehuetenango is amazing. It's fantastic. But they only had it the one time, and so I keep telling Cammie, because it came out around this time last year. So I keep telling Cammie, if they come out with this, we're buying like 10 bags of this. We're going to spend $100 on bags of this Guatemala Huehuetenango coffee, because it is really good. And then we're gonna hoard it. We're not going to share it with anybody. It's not one of those coffees when people come over, we make coffee because we want people to enjoy it. No, 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 no. This is Dave's show coffee. This is Dave's private stash. This is the good stuff. This is the stuff we hide. This is the stuff we don't let people get a whiff of. If I have to, I'll lock it in the gun safe so nobody else can get it. I don't know. It's just really good. I don't really know how to explain it. I like bitter coffees. I like dark bitter coffees. It's the same with beer. I prefer stouts to ales. And but this particular coffee, this Guatemala Huehuetenango, which I love saying, it has a real smoothness to it, even though it is, you know, a dark coffee. It's just really got, I mean, you could find yourself drinking a lot of that if you weren't careful. And I did. Normally it takes me a good month to go through a bag, and I usually have about 5 bags of various kinds. I have 3 containers, and then I have, you know, bags up in the counter, and then usually takes me a month or so to go through an individual bag, but that one I went through in about a week because it was just that good. And I thought, well, we'll just get some more, but only to discover that no, thou shalt not get any more. For we have done away with the Guatemala Huehuetenango, much to my disappointment. If I ever was really mad at Starbucks, that's what I would be mad about, them taking away that coffee. They have some other Guatemala mixes, which are pretty good. I mean, don't get me wrong, but I haven't found anything like that. It is my white whale of coffee. Must continue to hunt for it until I find it. And when I do, I will make sure no one else can ever have any. That's my goal in life. Anyway, all that to say that the coffee cup is part of this, because when he said that, it just immediately, and he kind of like, I'm not trying to be mean. I'm like, dude, you don't understand. Okay. To me, one of the funniest TV shows ever made was News Radio. If you've never seen News Radio, you should watch it. There is actually a college course being taught. I don't remember the university, about how perfect as humor and as commentary, social commentary, News Radio is. And of course, one of the running gags in that is Dave Nelson, has a coffee fix. He's got a coffee problem. One of the funniest episodes is when he convinces Bill McNeil, to played by Phil Hartman, to quit smoking and he'll give up coffee. And it's great. But anyway, there is an episode, and I played you there at the beginning of it, where they're mocking Dave for his coffee cup maneuvers. 17 fully executed coffee cup maneuvers. So if you want to count them, you can. I can, you know, in the future, back the camera out a little bit so you can see the coffee cup move from hand to hand and up and down and all that. So anyway, when you said that, and I don't remember who it was that said, was it Ronald? I don't remember who said it, but whoever said it, it bemused me remarkably because it reminded me of something that I love. So I did not take any offense at that whatsoever. In fact, I went and spent yesterday afternoon watching News Radio, the entire binge watch. See, I binge watch shows that I've already, instead of binge watching stuff that I've never seen before, I binge watch stuff that I've already seen because I know what's coming and I know what's funny, and that's sad. Speaking of, I don't know if it's sad or not. I'm a conservative. I'm a chat show host. So apparently I'm supposed to be up in arms about this. Apparently I am supposed to throw an absolute freaking hissy fit about this. And I'm having a hard time with it. I really am. I'm not convinced that I should be. It's this. I don't know if you've seen this or not. It's the Chelsea Handler tweet where she tweets out herself naked. She's not naked. She's wearing a thong, I guess. And she has written on her back, Trump is a butthole. Chelsea Handler has a tradition of photographing herself naked and putting it on the internet. And somehow or another, in the 21st century, I'm supposed to, and she does this as an attempt. And of course, there's this whole thing now about, you know, grab them by the vote, grab them, you know, naked women voting. And I'm supposed to be, apparently, horribly offended by this. I'm supposed to be taken aback by this. I'm supposed to be, I guess, offended by it. And I'm not. I mean, okay. I'm just going to say it because nobody else seems to want to say it. Everybody else I've heard in the conservative world seems to be repelled by this. And oddly, I'm not. I don't know the specifics or the reasons why, but I kind of find Chelsea Handler attractive, and I don't really object to seeing her naked. I'm not trying to be weird or titillating or anything like that, but I mean, it's not going to make me vote the way she wants me to make me vote. But I mean, in a world of Me Too, where supposedly I'm the bad guy, where the PLRI says that women who are, you know, wearing provocative clothing are causing men to fall into sin and stuff like that. I mean, she's going to put it out there. I'm not going to not look. I even, you know, we've had this conversation with my wife. We've had the conversation about, you know, do you think she's attractive? Well, in my younger days, I would have thought that a trap. In my younger days, I would have said, no, of course not. Nowadays, I say, yeah, she is. She knows I'm not going to cheat on her, and she knows I'm not going to cheat on her with Chelsea Handler. So what difference does it, you know, it really doesn't matter that much. I'm bemused by this because it was some years ago that Dave Mazzi, our good deceased friend of honored memory, Dave Mazzi, was running. I mean, he put signs all over the station, vote Mazzi. And then that was part of his platform was voting naked or living less clothing. What did he say? Mazzi for president. 2020, he updated this. How did he do that? He's dead. Even more big government, less confusing road signs, clothing optional. He come up with this idea of being naked for, you know, day-to-day life. And I kind of look at this thing with Chelsea Handler, and I kind of think, you know, on the one hand, does it get people to vote? I mean, do people look at Chelsea Handler's butt and go, hey, I should go vote? Is that the first thing that comes to your average person's, your average male's mind? I'm assuming she's trying to appeal to male voters. I don't know. It's possible. It's the 21st century. It's possible she's not. But, you know, I've been a younger man in my lifetime. I've been a young boy. I've been a young man. I can assure you, and this is kind of funny because, like I said, I have four stepdaughters, and at some point in their existence, virtually all of them at one point have asked me about, you know, how do I know what a boy is thinking? Well, I can tell you what he's thinking. You're not going to like it, but I can tell you what it is. That would not cause me to go, I need to go vote. It's not the first thing that would come into my mind. But I think she's onto something here. I really do. I mean, if you're going to try to get people to vote, I mean, back in the days, they used booze. Back in the days, they would have elections and candidates would provide alcohol to the voters and they would stand around and have a party all day while the sheriff ran the election. And with that came, you know, entertainment, of course. They would have to have some sort of musical entertainment or something. They would have to have some sort of, I don't know, but they had a lot of booze. I know that. And the voters would vote and then they would stand around until the sheriff, you know, usually what they would do is actually stand there while the candidates would speak to them, you know, trying to convince them that they needed to vote for me. And then they'd get nice and liquored up and then go drink. Yeah, George Washington did it, too. That's right. He did. They all did it. Madison did it. I mean, this was the norm. And so entertaining voters is not all that unusual, right? And I'm not saying that you necessarily need to look at a picture of Chelsea Handler's butt and go, hey, I should go vote. That's not what I'm saying. But I am kind of wondering if, number one, if there were go-go dancers, would you go? I mean, would that be intrinsically attractive enough? I mean, most men understand that when you go to a go-go dancing club or a gentleman's club, you don't get to touch. It's just fantasy. And so would you go? I mean, what would it take? It's Chippendales to get women. I mean, would that work? What if we had naked voting? What if you had to be completely naked to vote? What if we said, in order for you to go into the voting booth, you must strip off all of your clothing, then you go in and vote, and then you can come back out and put your clothes back on. You think people would go for that? I don't know. I'm just throwing out ideas here because apparently this is the thing now is get naked and tell people to go vote. And I'm pretty sure, just spitballing here, but I'm pretty sure nobody wants to see a naked picture of me with, you know, whatever political position I espouse printed on my backside with, hey, go, the underlying message being, hey, go vote the way I think you should vote. That's the part I don't get here is, you know, again, nobody else is saying it in conservative radio. I'll say it. I think that Chelsea Handler is a fairly attractive woman. I really do. Yes, I like older women. Sorry, I'm an older guy. A vapid teenager doesn't do it for me anymore. I like somebody that I can, you know, relate to. But that being said, does this get me to go vote? I don't know. I don't know if it would. I don't know. But at this point, they're trying about everything they can to get people to vote, to get people to participate. So we've done booze in the past. We've done entertainment in the past. We've done, what are they doing? It's the one, Oh Brother, We're Out There. And they have the little Warby girls out there singing. They got the whole campaign thing going on. I mean, it's great. I don't have a problem with that. I just don't know that people taking their clothes off and taking pictures of themselves to put on the internet. I don't know. Does she really think that that's going to influence people who think the way? Because really, she's not talking to me. She's not saying to Dave, Dave, Trump is a butthole and you need to vote against Trump. Well, Trump's not running. So what is this? What am I supposed to interpret from this? But number two, do you really think that this is going to influence me? Does Chelsea Handler think that her butt is really going to make me go, I should go vote? I mean, I vote by mail, which I think is BS anyway, but you know, I voted a week and a half ago. So what am I supposed to do now? Go, oh my God, Chelsea Handler showed me her backside. I better go pull my vote from the mailbox in the mail system. And it's already been delivered and explain to the registrar that I want to change my vote because Chelsea Handler showed me her butt. But the people who are thinking the way she is, that she's presumably trying to influence, do they look at this and go, hey, Chelsea, I wasn't going to vote. I wasn't going to do it. I wasn't going to go out there, but Chelsea Handler showed me her beaks, her backside, and so I should do this. Unlike the rest of the talk radio, I think she's quite attractive, but so is my wife. And I have no intention of cheating on my wife, so that's not going to happen in the big scheme of things. Anyway, I don't know. I don't know if she's onto something or not. I really don't. But for my money, I kind of encourage it. I think that as weird as it sounds, I think she should do it more often. Every day. Right? It's just a thought. It won't change my mind any. It won't change my vote any, but it might make me more interested. Just saying. It's half past. It's the Dave Bowman Show right here on the Podcast 99 Internet Radio Network. Stay tuned. We'll be back right after this break.
Listen live at podcast99.org.
I'm Gerald Ford to talk about voting. When you elect a president, you also elect a clown who will make fun of him for the next 4 years. So while your head of state is keeping America strong and free, some joker is making his career by falling off a ladder on national TV. So make sure you cast your vote. Vote. It's no laughing matter.
A reminder from Comedy Central.
Who's laughing now, funny man?
What's up, Whitey?
Hey, Scotsman.
We're from the Ale Evangelist Show, and you are listening
to the Podcast 99 Internet Radio Network.
Radio Network.
You are listening to the Dave Bowman Show on the Podcast 99 Internet Radio Network.
Yes, that is my tree. One of them. It's quite a thing. I have trees. I don't know why anybody would care. I don't know. Welcome back. This is the Dave Bowman Show on the Podcast 99 Internet Radio Network. We're here every Monday through Friday at 10 a.m. Pacific. Friday is going to be a pre-recorded show, so it won't be a live show, but it will be a new show. How's that? I got to be at Ben's school. They're doing their Veterans Day salute. I can't not go to that. I'm a veteran. Plus, he's working hard on their song. And it's usually a fairly... It's not a very long presentation because it's right before lunch at school. Lunches start, so... They get you in, get the performance done, and get out. So I don't want to miss that. So that's what will happen on Friday. Still be here at 10 a.m. We'll release it at 10 a.m. and off you go. You can watch it live or on demand if you're not doing those things. So most of you catch up later anyway. I get it. Very few, oddly enough, not very many people listen live, and that's fine. It's like a core audience that listens live, and the rest of the folks mostly catch up later, and that's cool. I'm enjoying that. I just enjoy doing the live show. It's more, to me, doing a live show is much more fun. It's much more challenging. It's much more interesting because you got to think on your feet. On a podcast, I say something really dumb or bad or wrong or whatever. You just back it up and you never know. You never know that I said that. I never liked that. It's much more interesting, much more challenging to do it this way. I am a tiger guy. I know people think that I'm a shark guy, and I am. I like sharks. I'm fascinated by animals eating people. If you've been around this show for a while, you know that. There's just something that's, to me, is incredibly cool about nature conquering mankind. I mean, we're part of nature, and I get that. But for some reason, animals eating people, particularly people that are doing stupid things, is something that I've long enjoyed. In the earliest days of this show, when it was mornings live on K5, and it was me and Commander Cody and Heather, we had a story out of San Francisco about a tiger that ate a kid's hand at the San Francisco Zoo, and everybody was shocked by this. Everybody was like, the tiger enclosure was not secure. Well, it turned out the kids broke into the zoo at night and were taunting the tigers. And not staying back at a safe distance from the tigers, they were taunting the tigers, and tiger's gonna tiger. So it bit his hand off, and I just kind of became one of the early mottos of the show, which was, you know, look, don't taunt the tiger. You won't have that problem. It's kind of interesting to me, as much as I love sharks, tigers are right up there, and I don't really talk about them as much, but I did go to Ogden High School. I did graduate from Ogden High School in Ogden, Utah, and of course, our mascot was the tiger. And in the hallway is a giant, I'd say stuff, but I think it's actually a statue of a tiger. It's a pretty realistic-looking tiger. It's kind of cool. I haven't seen it since the last time I was there in 96, I think. But, you know, that was my high school, and it was kind of cool. But actual tigers, for the most part, over half the tigers in the world live in India. I don't know if you knew that or not. I did, but it's just one of those cool tiger facts. 2,500 tigers in India, which is half of the world's population of tigers, which is scary because that means there's only 5,000 tigers in the entire world, which is a little concerning because obviously they're endangered and we need to be protecting those. And I'm all for that. The only reason I'm mentioning this is a story that came across from Smithsonian yesterday, which fascinates me. There's one less tiger in the world. But this particular tiger, they were actually, this was a government-sanctioned hunt. The Indian officials are calling it the most intense tiger hunt in recent memory. This is the hunt that just really, this particular tiger that they were looking for is said to have killed 13 people over the last 2 years. So this tiger is a man-eater. This tiger was, problematic. Tigers were, they were originally going to try to tranquilize it, but she became aggressive, and charged the group. So in self-defense, they turned to lethal measures because, quote, we would have lost a few men had we tried to save her, unquote. That's not the interesting part of the story. The interesting part of the story to me is how they lured the tiger out. You ever try to lure a tiger? I mean, Calvin and Hobbes, I know you could do it with a tuna fish sandwich, but this particular tiger is a woman, female tiger. Keep that in mind. They went through several failed attempts at capturing and relocating her, but she always outsmarted the hunters because, as we all know, women are smarter. In an unorthodox move, the team used Calvin Klein's Obsession cologne. The Eau de Cologne Obsession by Calvin Klein. Now, stay with me here. Stay with me. Just hang on a second. Because this is a fact I guarantee you did not know. Big cats, tigers, lions, jaguars, pumas, mountain lions, all those big cats love one of the scents that's in Calvin Klein's Obsession. They love it. They cannot resist it. They want it. And so the tiger hunters, apparently knowing this, got themselves some Calvin Klein Obsession, sprayed it on the whatever, the ground, the bushes, whatever, and lured the tiger in. They were going to tranquilize her, but she got a little aggressive, so they had to shoot her. I don't know why this fascinates me, but it does. It's incredible to me to think that Calvin Klein is putting something in their perfumes that big cats love. And they will attempt to obtain whatever it is that that smell is on. It's a true story, folks. They had to shoot this tiger in India because, anyway, it was a last resort. They'd tried everything from bulldozing her jungle home to herding her with a small cavalry of elephant-riding veterinarians armed with tranquilizer guns. Seriously? They did this? Okay, I gotta see this because apparently, this is a thing. Apparently, they actually used elephants to herd the... Oh, there's no pictures of it. That's too bad. Anyway, they apparently tried to use elephant-riding veterinarians armed with stun guns or tranquilizer guns. Obsession, by the way, has been around since 1980s, has become a bit of a musky male mainstay and achieving iconic status in 1993 when Kate Moss took over the photogenic helm of the Clones campaign. Much like Chelsea Handler, didn't do anything for me. I'll be honest with you, colognes and perfumes don't really... it's not that I'm allergic to them. They don't make me sneeze or anything, but today's world is the Axe body spray, and these kids today... A little PSA here, but you don't need to use half the can. A little dab will do you. That's what we used to say in my day. A little dab will do you. You don't need to do that. Anyway, some ladies may or may not be drawn to Obsession's masculine fragrance. Scientists swear by its feline appeal. Male or female, wild cats go bonkers for the stuff. It's not the cologne's enthralling. It's this cologne. Now, wait. Obsession is for men? That's right, it is, isn't it? Obsession for men. It's not the cologne's enthralling blend of citrus and spices that got these cats climbing the wall. Turns out that it's a not-so-secret ingredient called civetone. It's a chemical derived from the scent gland of civets, little cat-like mammals native to the tropics of Asia and Africa, and one of the world's oldest perfume avatars. It's normally secreted by the civets. It's normally a thick yellow substance from, well... the glands near the anus, and it's thought to be used in territorial marking and cologne. Why does that not surprise me? I wonder if Chelsea Handler knows that. Somewhere there must be a band called Elephant Riding Veterinarians. Anyway, there's one less tiger in the world today, and I'm sad about that. I'm all for animals eating people. I really am. I've said this before. After I pass on and they've taken all the organs and things that they can use. And I've made that clear to my wife. I've made that clear to my attorney, right, Pat, that basically if they can use it, they can have it. I don't need it. So if they want it for anything, scientific experiments, if they want it for just take whatever you need, whatever's left, I actually, I wouldn't mind being dropped in a shark tank somewhere or at sea. I mean, this is something about, I don't know why it so fascinates me, but it does. It's weird. My dad a few years ago got fascinated by dead people. he was so fascinated by it, he started working at a funeral home. He was one of those guys that goes out and picks up the bodies. I don't really know why. He just did. Sometimes you just have to go with it. Sometimes you just got to roll with things and go, okay, that's, you know, it's what it is. It is what it is. It's like coffee. It's election day. I guess I should talk politics, huh? It's election day. It's the most important election of all time. Did you know that? I guess what fascinates me about this particular election is, you know, you got Chelsea Handler taking off her clothes going, go vote the way I want you to vote. And I'll encourage you by doing this. Was it the last election when Madonna that was promising sexual favors for anybody that would vote the way she wanted them to vote? You know, weirdness happens. I've started to run into people who are pushing this idea that voting is a waste of time. You know them. Tim Preuss, who follows me on the network, and I'm not picking a fight here with Tim. That's not what I'm doing. But Tim doesn't vote, and he's not encouraging other people to vote, but he refuses to do it. I think his saying is, I refuse to help enable government. I just can't. I can't go down that path. I really can't. I can't accept the idea that voting is somehow or another a bad thing. I don't even buy the argument that my vote doesn't count. Are there certain elections where my vote doesn't count? Sure. Because of the systems that are in place and stuff like that. But really, when it comes to whether or not Silverdale should add fluoride to the water, my vote definitely counts. There's only 9,000 of us here. So it's gotta be, I can't look at it and go, well, I just can't vote because I refuse to be a part of this. And I don't really understand the argument. I intellectually I get the idea that people are disappointed. We used to get this on the radio all the time. Dave, why should I vote? The courts are just going to overturn whatever I've voted for. Well, maybe, but maybe you should get yourself better educated about what you're voting for and stop voting with emotion and start voting with common sense and logic. As opposed to, like, at a candy store, I want that, and this sounds good, so I'll vote for it. It does get a little frustrating, and I'm concerned about this idea that people don't want to vote because my vote doesn't count, my vote doesn't matter. And I wonder sometimes how we ever got to that point. I really do. And I really think that there's a, you know, people talk about conspiracy theories all the time, but I think there's a subtle undercurrent of trying to get people to believe that, because really, from a politician's viewpoint, the less people that vote, the better. I mean, that's always been the case from their viewpoint. They want certain people to vote, and that's it. The idea of everybody showing up to vote might cause chaos. I mean, it could really create problems for politicians. My God. You know, what happens if something that we don't really want passed passes 95-5? I mean, I like that idea because I like accountability in government, but we have very little of that as well. Doesn't mean we shouldn't try. Now, look, I'm not against undervoting. That's something I do all the time. I did it on my ballot last week. Was, If I come across a race, so for the sake of argument, we re-elect judges here to our district courts and Supreme Courts under the state system. And there were some judges that took the time to put together campaign statements and campaign websites, and you could find information about them, and I did so, and those that I felt comfortable with, I voted for. Those that in races where I couldn't find sufficient information, I just left them blank. I didn't vote for or again anything. Just left it blank. I just undervoted it and thinking that, you know, it's not going to change anything, but at least I didn't fake it. At least I voted what I actually believe, which is that I don't know that either of these two people are competent or qualified to be here. And they won't let me write in anything because we have the same top two primary system here where you can't write in things. So it's, you know, I can accept that. We had this happen a lot in California where you would have federal races, where you would have Senate race, where you have two last time around, where you got what's her name trying to convince this Democrat, this lifelong progressive Democrat, trying to be convince you that she's an Orange County moderate. And, you know, so leave that one blank and move on. I don't have a problem with that. But the idea of just staying out of it and not voting at all, I got issues with that. I got problems with that. That's, to me, that's missing the whole point of voting. It really is. Look, from the time I was in elementary school when I ran for class president and I got one vote, I've accepted the fact that oftentimes I'm on the losing side of a vote. I don't have a problem with that. As long as you're voting what you believe in, what difference does it make if you win or lose? You've had your say. That's what this is all about, right? Is having your opportunity to say what you want to say. And when we don't do that, I feel like we're missing out. I really do. And then of course it's John Quincy Adams who had this to say: always vote for your principal. You may vote alone, but you may cherish the sweetest reflection that your vote is never lost. And he's absolutely right. He's absolutely freaking right about this. Even if I'm the only person that votes for something, I can always look at that voting record and go, see, one person voted for this. Guess who that one person was? It's like I'm going to look at that fifth grade, sixth grade election and go, well, somebody voted for me. I know it was me, but, you know, at least somebody believed in what I was saying. That's a true story, by the way. I got one vote. One. My opponent promised everybody ice cream at lunch. I swear to God, she stood up there and said, if I'm elected president, student body president, I will have ice cream at lunch for everybody. You know what? She never did. She never fulfilled that promise. I got one vote. One vote. Because I wouldn't promise ice cream. Oh, she probably would have showed everybody her butt if they didn't let her do that back then. But anyway, point being, I just can't accept this idea that you don't do what you're supposed to do, what's part of being who you are, because of the circumstance, because you're depressed about it. You know, last week at the shooting at the synagogue, I don't know if have you heard this? So Bowers, of course, the Nazi white supremacist guy, gets anti-Semite. He's badly wounded. We didn't know that then. We didn't know how badly he was hurt, but apparently he was very badly wounded and taken to the emergency room. Wheeled into the emergency room, still shouting as he was wheeled into the surgery, all Jews must die. Did you know that his doctor and his nurse were both Jewish? And they could have basically, I mean, I guess the temptation had to be there to say, why bother trying to save this clown? Why bother? But as one of them wrote quite extensively the other day, that's not who we are. That's not what we are. That's not what we do. We do what's right, what our responsibilities as medical people are, because that's what we're supposed to do. That's what we're trained to do. And as far as the Jewish element of it, we're called to love our fellow man, to treat them as we would wish to be treated. I was wounded. I would want to be helped. And so they treated him. And apparently, and I missed this because I don't follow him, but I gather he tweeted, or not tweeted, but stated that he was thankful to those who saved his lives, probably not realizing that they were Jewish. And it's the same thing with voting, folks. Maybe I don't like it. Maybe I don't like the fact that I'm not going to get my way, but it's not about getting your way. It's about having your say. It's about doing what you're supposed to do as a virtuous, engaged citizen. Win, lose, or draw. It's about the idea that if you vote your conscience, your vote is never lost. It can't be, because you will always cherish that sweetest reflection that you voted for what you believe in. And you can always point to those totals and go, see, that's what I voted for. It's like they saved a life, because that's what you do. Maybe you don't believe that your vote's going to change anything. It'll change you. It'll help you to believe about yourself that you did the right thing, that you continued to be engaged, you continued to be a good citizen, that you continued to support and defend the ideals that you support and defend. You should vote. Even if you're the only person that votes for what you vote for, you should vote. You're not going to get your way every time. That's the reality of living in a representative democracy or republic. That's the reality. You're not going to get your way on everything. There are going to be a lot of people angry tomorrow because they didn't get their way on this. Will they look at that voting record and have that sweetest feeling that they stood for what they believed in? That they had their say? Or will they just be angry? Will they just be screaming and yelling? And you know it's coming as well as I do. Go vote, people. If you haven't already, go vote. Participate in our nation. Participate in what you know is right. Don't give me the excuses about, well, it doesn't matter, it's not going to help, or I'm not one of them. Don't give me that. When you get up on Wednesday morning, you can look at that thing and go, see, I stood for what I believe in. Or I guess you could stay home and show everybody your butt. I don't, you know, whatever you want to do. It's your business. I voted. I did leave some judges blank because I couldn't decide whether they were worthy of my vote or not. But I did vote. And I encourage you to do it too. Happy Election Day. I guess we'll see you tomorrow when all the fallout starts and people will be angry and screaming and yelling and all of that. So looking forward to that tomorrow. All right. Take the time right now. Tell the people that matter in your life. You love them very much. You'd miss them if they weren't there. So don't pass up those opportunities. You don't want to have that regret. Plausibly Live, I'm Dave Bowman, and this is my show, The Dave Bowman Show, right here on the Podcast 99 Internet Radio Network, here every Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. Pacific, to talk about what I think about things. Not what you have to think about things, what I have to think about things. We're glad you're with us each and every day. Have a great day, everybody, and we will see you tomorrow.
The Dave Bowman Show is a Slippery Fish Entertainment production for the Podcast 99 Internet Radio Network. For more information or to complain about how the show offended you, the text or voicemail number is 209-565-DAVE. For more information about the show, log on to thedavebowmanshow.com.
Hey, I'm going to go do something productive. I'm going to go watch television.